It's good to be in the Lord's house. Amen. Yeah. Exodus chapter number 8 tonight. Exodus chapter number 8. And while you're turning, good to see Calvary Baptist Church again tonight. And I appreciate all the warm welcomes. And y'all have just made us a part of your family since we've been here. And I certainly appreciate that. And just want to say it's good to see some of our home folk tonight. And good to see some of my best friends sitting back in the back as well. And if you're going to mess with me tonight, is not the night. And really, it's not. And I have got a redneck, backwoods, strong as ox, country boy from backwoods Kentucky sitting back in the back. And he'll tear your head off. I appreciate it. Well, they're both rednecks. Only one of them's from Kentucky. Amen. But it's good to see all the people in the house of the Lord tonight, and no other place I'd rather be than in the house of God, and it's good to be in the house of the Lord. And how many of you prayed for 1 hour today? You don't have to raise your hand, but I certainly hope you did, and I'm going to pray for 1 hour sometime between tonight and tomorrow night at this time, so I hope that you take the time to do the same as well, and it'll make all the difference in the world, in your life, but it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Preacher, a deacon, and a Sunday school teacher all got together and went on a deer hunting trip back in November. And they hunted a field, and as they were walking to their stands, they slipped up on this field, and there was a great big 10-point buck standing out in the field, and they both all slobbering out of their mouth after it, and they all got together, and they posted up on a tree, and they was trying to get it in the crosshairs first, and all three of them pulled the trigger and shot at the exact same time. The deer hit the ground. They all took off running out there with their guns, said, "Yes, I've shot the biggest buck of my life. This is my buck." And the Sunday school teacher said, "Wait a minute, preacher, that's my buck." And the deacon said, "Wait, no, both of y'all are wrong. I'm the one that shot that buck." And as they were sitting there in some heated fellowship, one with another, a game warden walked out of the woods, and he walked up to the deer. And they said, "Hey, maybe you can help us settle this argument." They said, "Well, what are you arguing about?" He said, "Well, we all three seen this buck, and we all three shot at the very same time, and we want to know who was the one that shot it." And the game warden looked at it and picked its head up, looked it over, and he said, "Oh, well, that's easy. The preacher shot that." They looked up at that game warden, and they said, "How in the world did you decide that?" He said, "Because the shot went in one ear." And out the other. Amen. So I want to encourage you tonight. I'm not going to be very long-winded tonight, I don't think. And I don't want you to let this shot go in one ear and out the other. And especially the ones that's getting ready to start school tonight, I certainly don't want you to let that shot go in one ear and out the other tonight. If you found your place in Exodus chapter number 8, if you would stand in the honor of reading of God's Word tonight. Appreciate the good liberty all week long. How many of you has been here all week, every night this week? Praise the Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness on the behalf of your pastor. Thank you for your faithfulness. I'll promise you, if you want to break your pastor's heart, loud church. And I mean that. I promise you I do. So anyway, Exodus chapter number 8 tonight. I will be very brief, but let's look into the Bible. I just want to read one verse, and then you leave your Bibles open. We'll use your Bibles for the rest of the night, the remainder of the message tonight. But look with me in Exodus chapter 8. Let's read verse number 1. The Bible said, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me." Let us pray. Dear Lord, we come to you, God, just as humble, Lord, as we know how. Lord, I certainly thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be in the house of God tonight. Lord, but I realize that I am absolutely incapable of doing anything amongst myself. And God, I realize tonight that I need your power. And God, I beg and I pray as I have all day, Lord, that you'd empty me out of myself. Lord, that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, that you would let my cup run over tonight. Lord, that you would not let me say anything of myself tonight. But everything that's done, let it be done, Lord, for your honor and for your glory. And Lord, let everybody see you tonight, not myself, but you, high and lifted up. And Lord, I beg and pray, God, if there's one here that's lost tonight, Lord, that you would save them before it's eternally too late. Lord, before we can ever be saved, you have to show us that we are lost and in need of a Savior. Lord, I beg and I pray, God, for your power, your unction, your liberty tonight. Lord, I beg that we would allow the Word of God go into our ears, down into our hearts, that we would apply it to our lives tonight, and we'd not let it go into one ear and out the other. Lord, for everything that's done tonight, Lord, I ask you to bless the pastor tonight, and Lord, give him wisdom and knowledge. Lord, give me wisdom and knowledge tonight. Speak to the hearts of your people. In Christ's name we humbly pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. When we come to the book of Exodus, we know that the word Exodus means to exit or the way out. And we know that the children of Israel was led out of captivity under bondage in the land of Egypt, and Egypt being a picture of the world, and Pharaoh being a picture of Satan. And we know that they were led out through the crossing of the Red Sea, and that was a picture of salvation. Here in Exodus chapter number 8, Pharaoh was refusing to let God's people go that they may serve the Lord. Amen. And did y'all know that we are commanded to serve the Lord today? Amen. You are commanded to serve Him, and no other God should be before Him. Y'all all right? Amen. So, and here in Exodus chapter number 1, we see that they're commanded to serve the Lord. And He said, let my people go that they may serve me. And then each time here in Exodus chapter number 8, and a little bit before, a little bit after, that Moses would go to Pharaoh and said, the Lord said, let my people go. And Pharaoh would say, okay, I'll let you go, and I'll let you go a little ways. And then he would let them go. So God plagued Egypt with a plague of lice and of frogs. And I want to show y'all something real quick. Look with me here in verse number 3. Go all the way down, do you see? And upon thy people and into thy ovens. Did y'all see that? In verse number 3 at the very bottom. And upon thy people and into thy ovens and into thy kneading troughs. Y'all see that? The frogs were in the ovens. Y'all ever had frog legs? That's where it come from. Amen. Y'all were tough tonight. So he put frogs, and he plagued them with frogs, and they were in the beds of the houses. And they were in the waters. They were in their beds. They were in their ovens. They were in where they prepared their food, in the kneading troughs, where they rolled out those big cat head biscuits. Amen. And where they made the gravy. They had frogs everywhere. Could you imagine walking around and every time you took a step, them frogs would squish between your toes? Yeah. Yeah. She even gets it. Amen. He wouldn't let them go, so then they plagued them with lice. Oh my goodness. Could you imagine? I mean, that just makes me itch, preacher, thinking about that. Amen. And then they plagued them with flies. And Pharaoh would still not let God's people go. He still held them captive. He still refused to let them go. He would rather live with that mess and hold God's people bondage than to let you go tonight. He don't want you serving God. If you're saved tonight, He absolutely hates your guts tonight. He despises you because God is in you. And we are made in His likeness and God's image tonight. And Satan, for that reason, if no other reason alone, despises the Christian people tonight. Despises the born-again people tonight. And we ought to hate him, by the way. The Bible says, love one and hate the other. Right? I'm just telling you tonight, the devil would rather do anything in this world other than letting God's people serve Him. He'd rather do anything tonight than let you, brother, your testimony line right up with my message tonight. But I'm just telling you, he'd rather do anything, and he would do anything before he let you go so you could serve God. We need not to forget that the devil is real tonight. This world, in modern day world, has got a way of picturing him up as a red little creature with a pitchfork in his hand and a little spear on the end of his tail with horns coming out of his ears, out of his head. But I'm just telling you, that's not the devil tonight. He's the most subtle beast in the field. He wants to devour you. He wants to derail you. He wants to tear you apart. He just wants to depress you. He wants to defeat you tonight. Man, he's tried to stir me away from this message all day long. But I'm just telling you, the devil's real tonight. By the way, hell is a real, real place. My pastor said this, I never forget it, said it years ago. If the Christian people would ever grasp the concept that hell was a real place, we'd start witnessing to people. Hell is a real place. The devil's goal is to turn us away from God. It's to keep you and I from worshiping God, from us raising our hand, from us saying amen, from us reading our Bible, to keep us from praying an hour, to keep us from handing out a gospel tract. And by the way, if any voice ever speaks to you and tells you not to give somebody a gospel tract, that's not the voice of God. Amen. He said to go into all the world and to teach them and to preach to them. He wants to keep us from serving God. Billy Graham once said this, one of the devil's greatest tricks is to convince people that he does not exist. Ephesians 6 and 11 says to put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles, the tricks, the deceits of the devil. Timothy, in the book of Timothy, Paul wrote kind of the same thing, but he used the word snare in 2 Timothy 2:26. The Bible says, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. You're not stronger than the devil. You can't overpower the devil except with the strength that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. The word snare means this. Listen to me really closely tonight. Something deceptively attractive. To win or to attain by artful or skillful maneuvers. It means this. It means to... Come here, brother, just a minute. It means this. It means to entangle or to hold. Here's what the devil wants to do. And as long as he can hold you still and to keep you from making a step closer to God, right? As long as he can hold you in that place, brother, as long as he can hold you in that pew, as long as he can keep you from teaching Sunday school, as long as he can keep you from singing in the choir, as long as he can keep you from standing up and testifying, as long as he can keep you from knocking on doors and going on soul winning visitation, as long as he can keep you from driving a bus or maybe even tithing or whatever it may be, as long as he can keep you from those things, he has snared you. He has deceptively deceived you with an artful maneuver. He wants to hold us down. He wants to keep us still. He wants to keep us from making forward progress for God's will. He wants to derail God's plan for our life, distract us, derail us, divide us, depress us, destroy us, and eventually devour us. Peter said it like this, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, your enemy, your foe, the one that hates you, he desires to rip you to shreds, to divide you, to tear you apart. Look, it ain't good enough for him to get you out of church. That's just the beginning. After he gets you, after he holds you still, see, he's going to eventually get you out of church. And after he gets you out of church, then he's going to have his way with you because you have no power. You have no strength apart from God's house, God's word, and praying. So he can tear you apart. He's going to have his way in your marriage, in your home, and with your kids. That's what he wants to do tonight. So with all this in mind, I just want to preach three quick points tonight on this thought. The devil don't mind if you go to church. The devil don't mind if you go to church. Look with me in verse number 8. The devil don't mind if you go to church as long as you will wait until tomorrow. Look with me in verse number 8. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee? When are you going to let me go? Lord, when are you going to let me go? Make sacrifices unto the Lord. When are you going to let me go? Look at verse number 10. And he said, tomorrow. Wait until tomorrow. Teenagers, don't get serious about God until tomorrow. Just wait till tomorrow, preacher. Just wait until you surrender to God. Just wait till tomorrow. Until you sing the song that God's burdened on your heart. Just wait until tomorrow. The devil don't mind if you go to church. I'll prove that before we leave here. I know I'm scaring some people probably, but I'll prove that before we leave here tonight through the Word of God. But I'm just telling you tonight, the devil don't mind if you go to church as long as you'll wait, because as long as you're waiting, you're not doing anything. Devil don't mind if you teach Sunday school, as long as you wait till tomorrow to do it. Devil don't mind, young men, if you are older men, if you give your call to preach, as long as you'll wait till tomorrow to do it. And by the way, sinner friend, one of the greatest tricks in the world, devil, will tell you keep you from getting saved, is say just wait till tomorrow. Preacher, that's exactly what he told me 1999 in a little town in Lancaster, Kentucky, in the middle of a primitive Baptist church. God spoke to my heart for the very first time. I had no idea how the Holy Spirit dealt with me. I was so ignorant about the things of God. All I knew is you went to church, preacher, you sat on a pew, and when you got out of church, you went home, you went to Granny's house, you ate food, you played ball, and you had fun the rest of the day. All I knew, all my life. The Lord spoke to my heart. Every preacher that got up there seemed like he was talking exactly to me. And I thought, man, the preacher that I went with has went back there and told them people about things that was going on in my life. Now keep in mind, when I was 9 years old, I had said a prayer. It kind of went like this. We was at a vacation Bible school, and I'm not against vacation Bible school, but it went kind of like this. Everybody bow your head and close your eyes. I was about 9 years old. What did I do? I'd done exactly what I was told to do. Raise your hand if you're not saved. If you've never been saved before, raise your hand. If you raise your hand, come up front. Somebody will come and pray with you. Somebody got me by the hand as a 9-year-old boy. We walked down a little hall. We walked into a room. He took the Bible and he said, repeat this prayer after me. And poof, you're saved. And when they brought me home, they said, tell you, Mama, what happened to you? Tell Mama what happened to me. I didn't know what happened to me. All I know, and you know what, preacher, there was even a tear run down my face that day because I was scared to death. And then you know what, preacher? I went and got baptized later after that. But you know what? When 1999, when God threw that Holy Spirit rope around my waist and He started pulling and tugging and telling me, you're lost, you're dying, you're going to hell, you need to be saved. It was at that moment that the devil said, wait till tomorrow. You don't do it here. Primitive Baptists do things different than you do.
Come on, brother.
You're not used to this. Wait till you get back home. Wait till you get to that church. Wait till you get back home where you're comfortable.
Come on.
Oh, the devil don't mind if you go to church. As long as you'll wait until tomorrow. Moses said, hey, Pharaoh, when should we go and sacrifice and entreat for you? He said, tomorrow. Romans 13:11 said it like this, and that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And by the way, 2 Corinthians 6:2, the latter part of that says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now, right now, if God's speaking to your heart, right now is the time for you to be saved. Right now. Come on, the altars are open. You'll not bother me a bit if God's speaking to your heart and you need to be saved. You're not promised the next breath, sir. You're not promised the next breath, ma'am. James 4:14 said it like this, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. You don't know if you'll be alive tomorrow. You don't know if you'll be here tomorrow. You don't know if you'll make it back home. You don't, matter of fact, you don't know if you'll make it out those back doors right there. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Do not wait. The devil don't mind if you go to church as long as you wait until tomorrow. Number two, the devil don't mind if you go to church as long as you will compromise. Look with me in verses 22 through 26. And I, God said, will sever in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there. And the end thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. And I will put a division. Who put that division? God did. And I will put a division between my people and thy people, Pharaoh. Tomorrow shall this sign be. And the Lord did so. And there came grievous swarms of flies into the house of Pharaoh, and into his servants' houses, and into all the land of Egypt. The land was corrupted by reason of the swarms of flies. Look with me in verse number 25. And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land. In other words, the devil don't mind if you go to church as long as you'll have one foot in the church and one foot in the world. Hey, brother, as long as you'll live any old kind of life and act any old kind of way and say anything you want to say, the devil don't mind if you come to this church. No, sir. The devil don't mind if you come to Calvary Baptist Church as long as you'll go back out there on the job and at the schoolhouse teenagers and you'll act and talk any old kind of way, smoke any old kind of smoke, drink any old kind of drink, say any old kind of thing, laugh at every little thing, that dirty stuff that comes out of here. The devil don't mind. That's right. I've done it for years, preacher. The devil don't mind at all. As long as you'll wait till tomorrow. The devil don't mind at all as long as you'll compromise. Pharaoh said, you can go to church. You can join the church. You can sing in the choir. Matter of fact, I'd rather have you singing in the choir. Hey, matter of fact, I'd rather have you to be in the youth choir. I don't mind at all as long as you'll walk out those doors and you won't let the Word of God affect you. As long as you'll just be a hearer, preacher, of the Word, and you'll never be a doer, the devil don't mind at all if you come to church. Devil don't mind at all if you'll sit under sound doctrine. The devil don't mind at all. Matter of fact, he'd really like for you to go post it on Facebook and then walk contrary to it with everything else. He'd really like for you to go post how good God is on Facebook on Sunday, and then on Monday, preacher, he'd like for you to show some kind of pornographic material that you posted on Facebook. What he'd really like, preacher, is on Sunday night or Wednesday night for you to post how good God is, and on Friday night to have a beer in your hand. That's really what he'd like. That's really what the devil would like for you to do. He don't mind at all if you go to church. He don't mind at all if you, as long as you'll compromise. I believe there was a country artist by the name of Brad Paisley, and he sung a song that, she's everything to me. You say, how do you know that? The preacher let me borrow his CD. Don't let me forget to give that back to you, by the way. Listen at this. She's a Saturday out on the town and a church girl on Sunday. She's a cross around her neck and a cuss word because it's Monday. You let that go in years and see if that don't affect your life. Right? You sing along with that tune and see if you don't like it. It feels good to this flesh, preacher. I'm just telling you, there's nothing about your flesh that wants to walk right and live for God. Your flesh has never been saved and never will be saved. The devil don't mind if you go to church as long as you live like the world. God has commanded His people to be different. In verse number 23, He said, I will put a division between my people and thy people. There ought to be a distinction, a separation, a difference between God's people and the world. That word division, that's exactly what it means. It's a difference you can see. It's a difference you can hear. It's a difference you can feel. It's a noticeable difference. Can I call time out right here just for a moment? I've been teaching Sunday school on does music matter over the last, just started this past Sunday. In 1 Samuel, you'll find that Saul is oppressed or with demons and an evil spirit, and they call for a cunning harp player. I said a harp player. And they bring David on the scene, and David plays the harp, and that harp assists in running those evil spirits away from Saul. In Exodus chapter number 32, you'll find that Moses is present with God, and the children of Israel have been left back with the assistant pastor. Can we say it like that? Aaron. And while they were there, they got impatient of waiting for Moses, and they said, "Where's Moses? Up! Make us gods! Make us a golden calf! Hey, preacher, assistant preacher, make us a golden calf so we can worship him." Aaron said, "Give me the earrings off you boys and you girls, and you can preach on kids right there, but boys and girls and you women, and they all give them the earrings. They made a golden calf. They started worshiping it. God got irate because it was paganism. It was what they used to be, preacher. It was when they were back in the world. And what they were doing as they were coming back down the mountain going to the people, Joshua said, "Hey, wait a minute, Moses. I hear something, and it sounds like war." He says, "What are you talking about, Joshua? What do you hear?" He says, "It's the sound of music. They're singing. That's what I hear. They're dancing." They got back and they were naked. They were singing, they were dancing, and they were naked. Right? I believe that our sounds ought to come different from our cars than the world's car. I don't want to scare you tonight, but if we pass the offering plates around, preacher, and ask everybody to put their keys in there, went out there to the car and we clicked on the radio, wonder what we'd hear tonight. In 2 Chronicles, they were in the temple. And that music of the psaltery and the harp and the trumpets and that singing of the praising of God and the thanksgiving to God said that it filled the temple as a thick cloud. And that filled the temple because the music was right and the preaching. And it said that it was so thick that the priest couldn't even stand up and preach. You know what happened here Tuesday night? It got so thick in here, preacher, that there wasn't no preaching. The big preacher showed up and he said, "You know why? Because the music was exalting, was edifying, and lifting up the Lord Jesus." The Lord Jesus Christ. The devil don't mind if you go to church. As long as you'll wait till tomorrow. The devil don't mind if you go to church, as long as you'll compromise. Romans 12:2 said this, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Conform means to resemble, to fashion after, to transform, to take over from another form. And then renewing means this, to renovate, to make new again after decay. You know why you renovate a house? Because it's kind of got old in there and it needs to be torn out. When we tear that out, we tear all the old stuff out and we put new stuff in and we make it new again. But this world has got our minds. They do. It's got our minds. And we think that that's just for the old folks. That hollering, spitting, and slobbering, that's just for the fanatics, right? The devil don't mind if you go to church as long as you're compromised. The devil don't mind if you go to church as long as you'll wait till tomorrow. But the devil don't mind if you go to church, number three. Come here just a minute. As long as you don't go too far. As long as you don't get carried away with this religious thing. Don't get carried away at Calvary. Listen, you know, it's all right to go up there. Brother Mark, I mean, he's a good fellow. I really like him. He's a nice guy. Preaches a little too loud. Spits and slobbers. I just don't understand all that hollering. Can I tell you something, sir? Can I tell you something, ma'am? It's probably not that hollering that bothers you. It's that Holy Ghost that's tugging on your heart and it's pulling on your heart. And it's that Word of God, it's that power that's in that Word of God that's speaking about the way you're living. It's not that hollering and screaming. Because if that hollering and screaming bothered you, you would never go to a ball game. Right. Yeah, you would never holler for your youngin' when they was running around. Don't let me hear that hollering and screaming bothers you when little Junior hits a home run. Right. Woo! Ah! 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 You want to see something? Just come watch my wife at one of my little boys' ball games. Just come watch Sister Kim over there at one of my little boys' ball games. She'll need some of that Deer Park water, amen. I mean, it tastes funny, but it's cold to your throat. I'm just telling you tonight, look with me in verses 27 through 29. As long as you don't go too far, we will go 3 days' journey. Y'all there with me? Verse number 27, Exodus chapter number 8. We'll go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as He shall command us. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go, help me out, very far away. Listen to this. Very last words he told them was this. Entreat for me. As long as you wait till tomorrow to sell out to God, the devil don't mind if you're here at this revival. As long as you'll wait till tomorrow to give your call to preach, the devil don't mind if you're here. As long as you'll wait till tomorrow to make a commitment, to give God your schedule, to give God your life, to do it, to teach Sunday school for the church if they need you to, and as long as you'll wait till tomorrow, as long as you'll compromise, as long as you don't get carried away with this religious thing, listen, the devil don't care if you're here Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday, Sunday. The devil don't care. Just don't get fanatic about this thing. Listen, that driving a bus is for them crazy people. Listen, you've got things to do after church. Preacher, going to a prison? Are you crazy? Them people's crazy in there. Are you crazy, preacher? That's what he'll tell you, ain't it? Every confession in there is just false. Every confession in the jail, all they're wanting to do, they're wanting that jailhouse religion. Don't get carried away. I know how the devil does. Thank you for that text today. Fought hell by the acres today. You struck out last night. Man, you fumbled the ball last night. You messed up last night. You knew better to preach that. You shouldn't have preached that. There's nobody going to be back tonight. I'm telling you, that's what I heard all day long today. Thank you for that text today. Hey, will y'all tell the devil he's a liar when y'all see him? Amen. Let me close with this. Look with me in verse 29. Every time that he was going to allow Moses to go to church, it was always for Pharaoh's benefit. He don't mind if you go to church because he's going to use it for his benefit. As long as you'll wait till tomorrow, as long as you'll compromise, as long as you don't get carried away with this thing, as long as you don't give your testimony, as long as you don't do anything fanatical. Listen, it's good to raise your kids in church, but don't get carried away with it. Right? That's what he'll tell you. Listen, they got to grow up. Let them have fun. They only live once. You said don't hold back, right? In Exodus 32, preacher, they were naked. The kids were on the scene. They were dancing to worldly music. Would you agree with that? Would you raise your hand if I'm telling the truth about that? Exodus 32, they're naked. They're dancing to worldly music. Listening to worldly music, and they're dancing. I'm not going to dwell on it, but all I'm going to say is this. You know what that sounds like to me? It sounds like a high school prom. The devil don't mind if you go to church as long as you don't get carried away. Look with me in verse number 29 and I'm closing. Let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully. The latter part of verse number 29. He said, entreat for me. Entreat for me. And then he says this, let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully anymore in not letting the people go to sacrifice unto the Lord. Here's what he's saying. As long as you go to church and you wait till tomorrow, as long as you go to church, come here just a minute, and you compromise and you don't, as long as you'll go to church and you don't get too fanatical about this thing, I've still got you. I've still got you working for me. As long as you'll work for the devil, he don't mind if you come to church. He don't mind if you sing in the choir. He don't mind as long as you don't get too fanatical about this thing. The devil don't mind if you go to church, as long as he can hold you captive. Can I ask you this tonight as Miss Macy comes to the piano? Is that okay to do it like that, preacher? Can I ask you a question tonight? What is it that's holding you captive? What is it that's holding you from selling out to the Lord Jesus Christ?